Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
I'm great, Christopher. I've just finished my coffee. We're on the second record of two today on the Abroad Japan podcast, and I bought one of these little cups. Can you see it? I bought a little cup that's got two little doggies in it, in the bottom of them.
That's kind of creepy. You're drowning your dogs in coffee.
It is kind of creepy.
Well, what the fuck? Well, waterboarding a dog.
So I mean, you fill a cup with coffee, and then you and it's got my two little baby Border Terriers in there, which is very adorable.
Yes.
But it was from one of those companies that advertise as if it's like this sub Etsy kind of like mom and pop sort of British or American kind of operation. These kind of craftspeople making these little cups. But in reality, it's like a big Chinese factory, and they've got about five or six different storefronts, each pretending that they're a mom-and-pop British or American company using like weirdly translated ChatGPT stuff. But it's a lovely... And you only find out when you get a very generic kind of AliExpress shop front at the end of it. At the end of the day, you still get the same product, but you do feel a bit like, well, you know, I fear that the people who are making these adorable little products aren't probably getting paid as much as they can. So I'm very much part of the problem. Starting the show, admitting that I am part of the problem. Inherently,
you're everything that's wrong with globalization and global trade.
I am. Yeah, and I was duped. I was tricked by some people who pretended to be local craftspeople doing local crafts where the people who make these things are making money. But to be fair, they do look like my dogs that I am drowning in my cup of coffee. I'm very upset. Chris,
nonsense.
Bit of an update on PT Toyota Century.
Oh yeah, the car.
It went to MOT. The MOT man said, I can't MOT this car. It is from the year 2000. Now,
no.
I'm fairly certain you can MOT a car from any age, but it turns out that's the case. And he said, basically, it won't pass anywhere because the gas struts in the hood are broken. So I was like, well, look.
No!
I'll order some new gas struts. So I went on the internet and bought some gas struts off the internet, so I feel like a really grown-up little boy. So, And then I said,
this
look,
is ridiculous.
Matey Moo, just find an MOT guy that'll do it. I mean, it's insane that you've got an MOT that guy that won't do anything from the year 2000.
That's crazy.
And just do it and let me know. Because he's expecting me to buy these gas struts. He's going to fit them to the car. Then he's going to go to the MOT. And then they're going to tell us the five or six other things that are wrong with it that I'm going to have to order parts for. So I said, look, mate, just find an MOT place. Do it, and we'll find out what is wrong with it all at the same time, and I can order all of the parts at the same time. So it's just that, really. So fingers crossed
why,
and all that. But
this is why you don't buy and import a 24-year-old Japanese car.
No, this is why you don't employ people who just don't seem all that with it. Terrible.
Oh, no. Oh, it's such a shame. But so, long story short, with this new
device. Is there going to be any part of your car left by the end of this? So you've got to change the steering wheel, the tyres, and the roof now.
Yeah, is it the ship of Theseus?
Theseus, triggers broom, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Be nothing left, mate.
Honestly, left
so
it,
the day will arrive sometime in the near decade when you can drive this vehicle.
I'm gonna smash. You know, like that the bonus stage on Street Fighter 2. I'm just gonna kick the shit out of it with a gas strut.
My God! Oh, well, that's
At least it'll be operational soon.
It'll be operational.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be operational, all right. It's like smashing up.
I've had a more fruitful week. Everyone I've known, I haven't seen in a while. People I've bumped into, caught up with, has said that I look slimmer. To which I've quickly realised it's because I have long hair for the first time ever, and it makes your face look so fit. Little life hack there. Don't lose weight. Don't get fit. Just get longer hair, and you'll look better.
And you look a little bit like the Yorkshire Ripper with your long hair. I commented that your hair... Because I feel like last week, you just had a haircut, and now it's really like wild man hair. It's like Natsuki hair. I'm enjoying it very much. You've got similar hair from Natsuki.
I don't know what to do with it. Should I embrace longer hair and be like American Pete, who's never cut his hair in the last 2 years or something?
I mean, he frequently, I love Pete, but his hair is like proper like mechanic you find in the middle of Arkansas, kind of like howdy. like he's just been walking up during a fire drill, and it's good stuff. It's good thick hair. I would love to get my hands through that. Beautiful.
Well, it sounds like you need a mechanic from Arkansas to fix your fucking car.
Exactly.
So
yeah. Fix my car, please.
Sort him out. We've got a story this week from Justin, who says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. Greetings from Long Beach, California." Wait a minute. Oh. Wasn't the last week's message story also from Long Beach, California? Why is it? What's going on? It was, Dallas from Long Beach. Is there a conspiracy here? We have someone who goes through and picks out your emails, guys, and curates them, and there's something going on here. Anyway, let's dive in. Maybe it's the same person with a different name, because this is Justin. Hello, guys. Greetings from Long Beach, California. My wife and I just returned from an incredible 2-week trip to Japan. We're big coffee fans and always try to seek out unique coffee shops during our travels. But Justin, do you have a cup with two dogs in the bottom of it that you can pour the coffee on?
Exactly,
yeah. That's what you need. That's what you need.
What's that cup that people in America really love? That kind of... they had to come out this week and said there is no lead in our cups, or hasn't been any lead in our cups for a good few years now. It's like a famous... Is it a Stanley Cup? No, wait, that's when you win the hockey. Ignore me. There's like a fancy cup that everyone's got in America, and everybody lusts after this particular kind of vacuum-sealed cup, and then everyone was complaining that it had lead in it, and then it didn't have lead in it.
It's basically a
$1 trillion business overnight. These people are obsessed. It's like a stereotype that women from certain, who love their coffee, love these particular kinds of kind of vacuum flask cups. I don't know why they're successful. I don't know why they're popular. They just look like every other cup to me. But I think
it's a
Common or Garden hot or cold flask. But I think they're really famous for being quite durable. But people buy loads of them, which I don't really understand. It's weird.
I never really got flasks in general, but I don't do camping.
Oh, they are. If you experience a flask, if you kind of forget what a flask is, if you forget what a flask is, and then suddenly use a flask, and you're like, this water is still hot, and it's been like 6 hours. What the fuck is going on here? It's insane, Chris. Like, forget about everything you know about flasks and then remember them. And you're like, this is insane. It's a wonderful piece of engineering.
This is quickly descending into two men amazed at the concept of rudimentary physics. I don't know how to feel about this, but the story continues. There's no flask involved. While in Umeda in Osaka, we stopped by a highly rated coffee shop, no flasks, for a much needed afternoon caffeine boost. It was a pretty cool setup with something like 18 different beans available and staff on hand to walk customers through each variety in detail. After about 15 minutes waiting to get our coffee tutorial, the staff member pulled out two beans, telling us that these were their top recommendations. The flavour notes sounded delicious. I then looked at the price for each and noticed they were both 3,000 500 yen for a single cup of black coffee. Jeez, my wife didn't seem to notice this, so I tried to give her a concerned look, a wink with my eyes while the...
Can you really do a concerned wink? There's a burning building and it's on fire and you're going help and there's flames licking around the top of the window and you're ah, and then a fireman comes with this big ladder and he goes, I'm gonna get you out of here, wink. Like, I'm just absolutely chilling stuff. I'm jumping in the fire, get out of here.
Oh my god, I don't know why. You'd sort of have to be like the price tag something like that. By god, I tried to give her concerned looks with my eyes while the worker continued to describe the flavour of the coffee. I noticed the other beans on the counter were 1,000 to 2,000 yen. Still pricey, but much more palatable for my wallet. Mm. I asked the staff member about some of the other beans and he just kind of ignored me and kept on talking about the expensive beans. We just decided to go ahead with the two expensive options. Two cups of pour over coffee with a grand total of 7,000 yen, about $50. After I paid, I told my wife we just paid $50 for coffee and she was shocked. She said she'd been so focused on listening to the worker explain everything that the price didn't really register with her. I told her I was too nice to insist on purchasing a cheaper option, so we both just laughed and enjoyed the coffee. Did we get hustled by this coffee barista? The coffees ended up being incredibly delicious and we enjoyed every damn drop, but I do think those were our first and last $25 cups of coffee. Cheers, guys. Mm. Justin. Now, I had a 700 yen cup of coffee the other day and I was a bit like, I was a bit on the fence about drinking just a joke price coffee, but it was really good. It was like he took like 25 minutes to make it, did it hand drip and whatnot, and it was very good. And yeah, it was still a bit pricey. So the fact that they paid this amount, 3,500 yen. Have you ever paid that much for a coffee? You probably have. You definitely
there is
have.
Actually, I mean, Japanese are known for being absolute pervs for really expensive coffee. A Omotesando coffee in Oxford Street. That's quite an expensive drink. I think I've spent about £8 on a cup of coffee before there. But I mean, the Japanese are known for proper, you know, craftsmanship, and they're very good at, you know, they obsess about the quality of everything in the bean to cup process. So I think if you're going to drink great coffee and you're going to spend a lot of money on it, I would do it in Japan definitely, because they're absolute perverts for process. Perverts for process, the Japanese coffee industry.
This sort of price, people would definitely buy it in Japan, like coffee connoisseurs. But I don't think I could ever justify that cost. And if I'd been Justin, I might have been like, oh, choto takai na, it's fucking overpriced shit. But anyway, he probably wandered into like the Ferrari of coffee shops and he had no choice. But I do love the coffee culture in Japan. There's so many good coffee shops. If you want a good coffee chain, Hoshino Coffee, pretty good. They do a good lasagna as well. Check them out.
You did not go for lasagna at a coffee shop. You definitely do.
This lasagna is so good for the price point. It was like 800 yen. And it's quite hard to find lasagna in Japan, actually. So you get a good coffee, lovely atmosphere, and you get a lasagna. What more could you want from a day out in Japan? But speaking of days out in Japan, the number of foreigners working in Japan has hit an all-time high, which is impressive. And 25% of the foreigners come from the same country. So we've talked about this recently, I think, or we haven't, I can't remember. But it's no secret that the number of foreigners coming to Japan is on the rise in terms of workers here. And certainly when you go to a convenience store now, you notice that behind the counter, it's becoming less and less that it's actually a Japanese national. It's actually like foreign workers, and it's quite a cool thing to see. Much needed given the decline in population. But fill us in, Pete. Tell us about the numbers. Tell us what's going on.
We have got It's an interesting story. I think it's fair to say. The number of foreigners working in Japan hits an all-time high. 25% come from the same country. Japan's Minister of Health, Labour and Welfare has released the results of its latest study on the number of foreign nationals working in Japan. And statistics show that the demographic has reached an all-time high. The prefecture of Aichi has the second highest number of working foreign residents in Japan. Tokyo had by far the most foreign workers, 26%, followed by Aichi at 10%. For the first time ever, Japan's foreign worker population has climbed past 2 million. Roughly one in four of these foreigners hail from the same country. Now, you've read this story, Chris, so I can't surprise you, but it's Vietnam.
Yeah, I was like, quite surprised by this,
25% of the total. It's really interesting out of all of, like, bearing in mind, like, you know, China's there, the Philippines are there, like, you know, all these kind of countries that historically travel quite well for work. Yeah, Vietnam. The fourth year in the row for Vietnam to be the number one country in terms of foreign nationals working in Japan. I must be fascinating about like the Vietnamese kind of diaspora and how that all kind of fits together. What support networks for the Vietnamese? That's what I don't know. Where is it?
I think Vietnam and Japan do have a good relationship. But I'm not sure the mechanism behind this, like if it's a Japanese initiative or if Vietnamese folks are more proactive in seeking out jobs here. Obviously, I think Vietnam has a much lower income than Japan compared to even sort of China and certainly, you know, other. I don't know where they are in terms of the Philippines, but I think maybe that's a big reason, right? That Japan has such a higher, quite a better income than Vietnam, but
cheaper labor. Yeah,
I don't know why it's specific to Vietnam.
I mean, you do see quite a lot of Vietnamese and people over in kind of like the Arab states as well, in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and places like that. But proportionally, the largest increases compared to the previous year were in workers from Indonesia, Myanmar as well, which were up 56 and 49.9% compared to a year before. US and the UK were not really up there, to be honest. An examination of Japanese private sector workplaces. The study does not include US military personnel and contractors working in Japan. But you still imagine that like that would be relatively small compared to the amount of people who are kind of, you know, turning in a paycheck every week.
For sure. It's the same week as well, though.
Military contractors.
It's the same week that some foreign-born residents sued the government for alleged racial profiling. So swings and roundabouts,
Imagine that goes on quite a lot.
Yeah. There's like three folks who are trying to sue Japanese government for 3 million yen in damages. The first such lawsuit in Japan as well for this sort of thing because they've been consistently questioned by the police based on their appearance. It's definitely changes afoot. The LDP, the ruling government over the last sort of decade, has been kind of sneakily bringing in more and more people. Because back in the day, like I think most Japanese folks were reluctant at the idea of having kind of foreign workers on that scale come in. But Shinzo Abe, the prime minister at the time, realized that Japan needed them regardless of what most of the population thought. They done a pretty good job bringing in sort of 250,000 foreigners a year to fill the gap and try and fill in the void of workers. Because there just aren't enough young people in Japan to fill all the jobs, the vacancies that are popping up in convenience stores and restaurants and whatnot. And even though, you know, your favorite family restaurants in Japan have got all these automated robots popping up, they're still not anywhere near as efficient or effective as actual real life humans with limbs. I saw a video yesterday of that in like a family restaurant in Japan these days, they have like this robot, this big clunky looking Star Wars-esque robot on wheels. And it's got like three racks and the workers come to the kitchen, they put the food on it, press a button, it drives off to the table and it's like, Minasan, take your fucking food. And you take the food off, hit a button, it drives off. It's quite cool. It's simple and it's efficient, gets the job done. But there was there's a video of these two robots just pausing in front of each other and not being willing to move. And that one of them is like, please, could you move? And the robot's like, please, could you move? And it's like a Mexican robot standoff.
Yeah.
In like a
Terminator's
restaurant.
Terminator Salvation. That's how they all took over. That's why they've gone back in time to kill Connor. I mean, not Connor, the one we know.
CWA. But so, yeah, robots aren't quite as good as we'd like to think just yet.
Oh,
but so that's why they're filling the gap with such a big foreign workforce. And you'll notice it at convenience stores and whatnot around the country. But still got a long way to go to plug the population gap. And I don't think there's much they can do about that, unfortunately. But we'll be back in just a moment, guys. Your story is coming. That's an ominous point to end it on. But there's still hope. Yeah, hope.
The machines are coming.
Moment. I always end the chapter on a bit of hope, but there's hope, and the people of Vietnam will come to Japan, and it'll be lovely.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week for our listeners? Mr. Dawson, fill us in.
We got a message from Hannah from Canterbury, Kent, a town we do love. Hi, Chris and Pete. I love the podcast and all the abroad Japan videos. My fiancé, Joseph, and I have been watching for years. We've been watching you for years. threatening, if you say it a certain way. We visited Japan for the first time in March 2020. Bad timing, I know. And we only managed 3 days before we had to travel home due to the pandemic. But those 3 days we spent in Osaka and Nara were everything we wanted Japan to be and more. We are getting married in March and we're coming back to Japan for a month-long honeymoon. We want to visit lots of places and have lots of ideas, but what would you suggest to make our honeymoon extra special? Thanks so much, Hannah, in Canterbury, Kent.
I'd say ryokans. Good old ryokan, traditional inn. Get one with a private bath where you can just chill out. Like, whenever Charlotte and I want to go on a break, you only need like a day or two at a nice ryokan. You've got nice food, you've got a decent room. And your own private outdoor bath, you can just chill in, splash around in and just relax. Like, it's nice as a couple just to be on a nice bath, looking out over a mountain. That, for me, is the best bit of any trip and the bit that I always remember, the nice warm feeling of the warm hot spring water bubbling over. Like, yeah, for me, that's the best bit. So Do that. Do that once and you won't forget it, I promise. We got one here from Ben and Jamella. He says, "G'day, fellas. My girlfriend and I are from Brisbane, Australia, and we are just about to embark on a month-long trip to Japan. This will be our second time visiting this beautiful country, but we've never been to Tokyo before." What? You've been to Japan, but not Tokyo? I only know one person that's done that, and it must be really weird, like, seeing half the country. He's never gone. He has, like, a homestay he goes to near Himeji. So he's only ever been to Himeji and Osaka, I think. So okay, must be trippy. He's been like six times, never been to Tokyo. As we'll be spending close to a week exploring Tokyo, we've decided to dedicate a day to visit Mount Fuji. Do you have a recommendation for a nice place to visit Mount Fuji, if traveling from Koto City in Tokyo? Cheers. Keep up the great work, Ben and Jamella. I was literally there, actually, not that long ago. There's two places: Kawaguchi Lake, which has lots of cool hotels and ryokans around the lake, and you can look across the lake towards Mount Fuji, or go to Hakone, which is maybe a little bit easier to get to, and then ride the sort of, not the tram, the what's it called? What's the thing called? Ski lift, like a lift, chair
ski
lift.
Ski lift, right.
Not a ski lift.
Ride across to Banbury Cross.
Just ride the lift.
Ride the cockross.
The
lift. Not, ride the lift.
Ride the lift.
Breaking
ride the
down.
Lift. Up the mountain. I did a video called How to Spend 14 Days in Japan. And there's a moment where Charlotte and I are on this like volcano overlooking Fuji, and it's just the most incredible view. And that is where to do it. So, yes. But Kawaguchi's nice. And if you're going in, when are you going? If you're going like in a nice warm time, you get some bikes, have a nice cycle around the lake, it'll be beautiful. And we've got one last question here from Amy, who says, "Hello, Cyberpunk Chris and Postmodern Pete. I'm hoping to apply for the JET program at the end of this year, so I guess this question is directed more towards Chris." Well, don't Pete applied as well, so he can answer too.
Yeah, don't need to go in whether it was successful or not.
In your book, you mentioned it was taboo to be asked to be placed in Tokyo. Yes. And I was wondering if there's any other cities this applies to. In other words, I'd love to be placed in Kyoto. Oh, God. I wonder if this may cause my application to get an eye roll. I'd love to hear if there's any other cities or towns you'd recommend as someone who has seen much of Japan. Kind regards, Amy. Don't put Kyoto, Amy. Your application will go straight in the bin because everyone puts it there. And just put your... like. The trick is think like an applicant. Like think like a an interviewer, right? You get a,
think like a fucking, replicant.
Think like a replicant. 500 applications come in for the JET program, right? And everyone's like, "I want to go to Kyoto or Tokyo." We'll just chuck them in the bin. Because everyone wants those places and they don't really exist. There's a handful of places in Tokyo and Kyoto, and they usually give them out to certain places where there's already a relationship there. Like for example, in the town near where I used to be, Soroka. I was in Sakata. There's a town nearby called Soroka. Soroka had a relationship with New Jersey. I don't know how, I don't know why, but they did. And so everyone in Soroka is from New Jersey. And there's a lot of towns and cities across Japan that have those sister relationships with different countries and towns in sort of Canada, the US, and the UK. So that's a big factor as well. Long story short,
like double denim, looking like Bon Jovi. They were, that's what I want to know.
That is like exactly that? What they weren't. They were not like that at all. As lovely as they were. No, just don't put it down. If you want to get on the JET program, stay flexible and say, you know, you'll be happy to go anywhere. Or pick an obscure town or city that people wouldn't think of, like, you know, Matsuyama or Yamagata or Sendai, you know. But if you, the most important thing is having a real tangible reason for wanting to go there. Don't ever say, "I saw it on a Abroad in Japan. I look good in it." Don't say that. If you've got a tangible relationship, maybe if you've even travelled there before, you could use that. But that's my advice. That's what
think
they look
tactically.
For. Think tactically.
Find like a city that's close to somewhere. If you don't have a reason to be at the place you really want to go to, just choose the place really close to it. Do it
that way. I mean, I chose Kobe. I think my number one place was Kobe. Or it was either first or second. You get to write two or three places. And I just said Kobe or like anywhere. And then they asked, like, "Why do you want to go in Kobe?" I said beef. They were like, "That's a shit reason. We're going to put you a million miles away, as far away from Kobe as we can, for wasting our time." So the trick is just be flexible. The people that enjoy Jet the most are the ones that don't have expectations about where they're going to end up. I worked with somebody in Sakata who came along and she thought she was going to get placed in a city. And she had been on some sort of English teaching thing in Hong Kong beforehand. And she was like, oh, Hong Kong was magic. It was party town. And then she ended up in Sakata, which is not Hong Kong. And she hated it so much. And she was gone in a year. Come with expectations and you'll be disappointed. Come with an open mind. Mm. Let fate take its course and see what happens and where you end up. That's half the fun. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment on YouTube down below. We'll be checking those out. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Farewell.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.